Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded and aired on August the 14th, 2021. And we're going to be looking at, well, the place of the body, as I like to call it. Where should it be in the course of our lifetime? How much importance should it really have in our life? And if it does have importance, what is its significance in our life? All of these questions are very important. And I've received wonderful emails in the past 4 months regarding the human body. I would highly recommend for those of you who are really interested in this subject and want to know more about the state of the body and its place in our life, to read Yuval Harari's beautiful book, Sapiens and Homo Deus, as well as Robert Sapolsky's book, Behave. Now, these books are scientific. They run rather, in detailed form about the human body and about the history of humanity. And all of that is really deeply important when it comes to daily living and the meaning of our life. So I want you to consider the fact of reading the history of the human body and understanding its science and what it has to go through in the course of a lifetime, and how we can help it, why we have certain traditions in our lifetime that have turned into ways of life, systems of living, society, culture, all of that. It's very, very important to understand. Once you understand where your body fits in this world, then you have something extremely valuable to understand about daily living, about the state of your being, about where your spirituality lies, about what your livingness is really all about. And some of the major questions that people have, which are contained within the questions we have today, and I'm honored that we have thinkers like this, we would be able to solve a lot of our issues, really solve a lot of our issues. A lot of the issues of daily life is in how willing I am to yield and not make a fuss over things that are just non-negotiable when it comes to our spiritual awakening. And remember, our life is about awakening, spiritual awakening. It is not about sustaining our will over others. It is not about being important. It's not about sustaining the ideas and ideals of being righteous, more righteous than others. It has nothing to do with any of that. So once you really clearly understand that and the futility of those things, that's when things begin to take another perspective in us. And that's really, really important. Let's get to the first question. This is from, his name is Jar, J-A-R. So I don't know if that's a nickname or what, but Jar, J-A-R. What is the body and why do I even have one? It seems so confusing. I listen to you often and you talk about the impulses of the human body and to ignore them. How do you do that? It seems difficult. And then he goes into all sorts of impulses, including sexual impulse, eating impulses, even killing impulses that the human body has. Jar, it is very clear, and you are very right about all of this. There are many impulses that are primitive in all of us. These impulses come from our DNA, our need to survive, and how we will survive, the essence of our survival. Everything is about, do I survive? Can I survive? Will I survive? And with all that being said about can I, will I, and do I, we tend to lose the meaning of our life. The body is an interesting network of very intelligent what shall we say, survival mechanisms. It has all sorts of parts. It has all sorts of intelligences that science, doctors just don't know about where it comes from and why. We have instincts, and these instincts and chemicals, serotonin, you understand all of the chemicals, I'm sure. I'm not going to sit here and reiterate them. You know, it goes into testosterone, estrogen, all of that. These things all mix together in a very interesting way in our body, causing us to think and believe in certain aspects of living, like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that kind of thing. That there is something called right and there's something called wrong. And our survival is of utmost importance to most people, and that's as far as their life ever goes, and that be the end of it. So you ask, what is the what is this body, and how do why do I have one? You ask. You have one because to be here, you have to have one. Now, I am sure that's not a satisfying answer, but I will just say this. Due to my karma, due to the way I have lived in other dimensions, in other ways, I have come to the place in my life where I had to incarnate in this body. In my last experience, whatever it was, however it was, brought me to here and to have a body and to function as a human being. That's all I know. Now, I know a little more than that regarding myself, but I'm not going to get into that because that's not something that would be of any interest to any of you. But the whole way in which we find ourselves in the process of birth and death, and birth and death is the point of the matter. To live here on this planet and to go through what this planet can offer us in the form of growth, maturity, understanding, spiritual awareness is very, very important. So a lot of the things that we go through here on Earth are very difficult things to go through. And why? Because I put myself through them. I make it very difficult. And because I make it so difficult, and because it is so difficult for the Gregory, due to the fact of what he believes in and how his chemicals purport his perception, his concepts, his beliefs, he makes a damned if you do and damned if you don't kind of lifestyle. So what do you really want to do with your body? Why do you have it? Why are you here? Because this is where you are. And when the experience changes within me, within you, when we are no longer living in the accord of our physiology and assumptions that go along with that physiology, we will change. We will no longer do this thing anymore that we call the human body. So it's not a bad thing. We're here to take care of it. We're here to have compassion with it. We're not here to be obsessed with it. It's an animal. It's no different than a little pup. It can be no different than cattle and pigs and chickens. And it can be no different than the crops and the fields. It is something that needs to be cared for. It needs to be nurtured. It needs to be loved, actually. And it is a very fine line between loving it and being obsessed by it. And that's the point that most people miss. They go too far in their obsessions and compulsions with the body. It's a mess. And we just don't understand our physiology. We don't understand our psychology. Our physiology gives way to our psychology. Our psychology then gives way to our physiology. And around and around and around it goes. It's very, very, very complicated. Yet it's very simple. As you think, so are you. As you live with your body, so is the appearance of your life. But this is just appearance. It isn't all the truth. And that's what the hard part is separating the truth from the biology. That's the difficult part. And most people just don't have the mental acuity or the interest, really, to do it. There you are. I hope that helps, Jar, and I hope I got your name right. And if I didn't, please email me and correct me. Thank you for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Randy. He says, how much of my life should be spent as a human body? I think this is a great question. Randy, I really liked your question. How much of my life should be spent on my body? How much should be spent in how it looks? How much should be spent in the obsession of it, its health, all of that? What should I be doing with my human body? This is really a matter of compassion, and I can't emphasize this enough. As I said just a few moments ago, you have to consider the human body an animal. It is strictly an animal. And once you understand that and you no longer are fighting with it as though it were something other than an animal, then you can kind of look at it and go, oh, my body needs this, my body needs that. My body leads over the ocean. My mind. See how it goes? My body lies over the ocean. Anyway, I'm sorry. Your body has to be given forgiveness. It has to be given compassion. And you don't want to feed it things that hurt it. And you don't want to overindulge it with any kind of gratification. Because if you do, it will start to take over your whole life. And then it will start, it's like you give it an inch, it'll take a mile. It will. So the body needs two things, compassion and discipline. The discipline comes in not doing the things that hurt it. And you've got to be very aware of the things that we do that hurt it. Things like smoking, drinking, drugging, eating bad food. Just you got to stay away from McDonald's and places like that. Those kinds of experiences. You've got to understand and respect what it is. People, when they're young, they don't respect it. And then they abuse it and think, oh, it can take this, it can take that. They'll go on a drunk. Or I was at the post office the other day and I saw someone I hadn't seen in probably about a year. And I've known this person for a long, long time, heavy drinker when this person was younger. This person was in the movies and did one movie and was there because of their looks. And now, my God, it's shocking. It almost knocked me over. And this person said to me, I know my appearance is rather offensive, but this is what I get for the drinking I did. And I was astounded at the honesty of it. You have to take very good care of your body. That's a part of the spiritual practice. And if you take a good care of it and you take good care of your mind and you don't allow your mind to run ramshot over everything you do, giving in to all sorts of gratifications in your mind about fantasies, about revenge and hostility, if you can simply sit with your mind and cultivate consciousness with it, which you can do, consciousness being everything, then a deep change can happen within you, a profound change. And you will find that your body will respond to that change. Now, how far will that go? Well, I met Asians when I was in India who claimed to be 100 years old, and they only looked in their 50s. So, you know, in India, there are many, many things that you experience as a person, and that was one of them that I experienced. And I can tell you that it probably was true that they were that age, maybe 100. And they live a very different life, a very disciplined life. But longevity is not the meaning of a person's life, nor the idea or the ideal of living. Consciousness is, and to attain to consciousness is a very important thing to do. I can't urge this enough to you. Consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. I'm doing a series right now on consciousness. It's very, very important. Few people can understand it or care to understand it because they're obsessed and compulsed with their body. So all I can say to you, Randy, is be compassionate with it. Think of it like a little puppy and try to take very good care of it. Take good care of your parts with compassion, love, and kindness. That's all I can say. And if you can understand that, it will help you immensely. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Carol. She does not tell me where she lives. Are we the image and likeness of the body? Is God the image and likeness of us? Carol. Our body can be the pronouncement of our unconscious mind. And for the most part, Carol, our bodies are what our unconscious is all about, as it gives way to our genetic nature. And in our genetics, we do formulate a human body, and that is true. So you are none of these things. You inhabit a fleshly body, but you are not the fleshly body. And that's hard for most people to wrap their heads around. What the body is a conveyor belt, a mechanism to bring experience to us in this world. How we deal with those experiences, the way we deal with them, determines exactly not only the health of the body, but what the body will manifest, whether it be health or illness or indifference or whatever. It will manifest those things. So if you want to get beyond your years, as it were, get beyond the ideal of years stacking up upon you, it isn't the years, it's how we handled everyday life. You have to learn how to live everyday life in compassion for everything. Not allowing yourself to be offended, not allowing yourself to be angry, not allowing yourself to be hostile, not allowing yourself to do any of those things, but to let love live you. Not hostility, not righteousness. Let love live you. That's the key. If you can do that, which I'm sure would take a great deal of effort on your part, because you would have to, Carol, you'd have to redo your whole idea of what you think love is. Most people think love is a thing in their emotions, a feeling, something that they acquire through camaraderie, or they acquire through romance, things like that. It isn't. It has nothing to do with any of that. So once you have rehabilitated your idea of love and dropped it and really get into the immersing of yourselves in consciousness, that's when real love starts to take a hold and starts to bring about some kind of loving kindness and goodness in our life that we've never known before. And how that will happen, I do not know. It's different for all of us. I really can't tell you because I don't know. And as far as the God question, are we the image and likeness of God? Hardly. If God is the image and likeness of Greg Penn, we're sunk. I mean, we're just sunk. There's more to all of this than just those words, image and likeness, and the myth of creation. There is far more to it. It's more than our human mind can even bear. Oh, there's my song. I gotta go. Thank you for your question, Carol. Please forgive me. Namaste. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Have a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. And please forgive the old teacher here, hey? Namaste.